Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Greg. You are on.
Hi, Erica.
I can hear you.
Blog Talk Radio. Cindy F. Solomon from the San Francisco Bay Area for the Global Product Management Talk episode today on building the case for a market-focused approach with Greg White, calling in from Southern California, and Erica Anderson, who is jumping in to be our co-host after a very successful product campaign on Saturday.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for stepping up in a big way.
Erica, which was your product camp?
Utah.
Awesome. How many people do you have?
60, all told. 62, 63.
Okay, good. Good
start. We have three tracks. Yeah. I think next time it'll be bigger.
Always is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at having somewhere around 300 next month at Product
Camp
SoCal. Yeah.
I want to go.
So I am posting tweeting best practices from frequently asked questions on the Global Product Management Talk website at prodmgmttalk.com. When we first started back in February, there were 300 Twitter chats that occurred each week on this list on Google Docs, and now there's over 500.
Wow.
I believe that our Global Product Management Talk is the only one that is intentionally a Socratic discussion.
Really?
We post the questions ahead of time, give people a heads up so they can prepare what they want to contribute, and then we make everything available afterwards. There's different formats to the different chats. Some of them have a speaker that is being interviewed, people using Twitter to ask the speaker questions, like in a regular presentation format. Some of them have themes for the talk, and everyone just comments on that theme.
Right. You know, I think the CXO chat that takes place on Monday mornings, a lot of those people are on both Product Management Talk and CXO.
Yeah.
It has a very similar feel to Product Management Talk.
Yep. I did do a study, and I tried to take the best features of the best one. Blog chat, which has been going on the longest. There'll be 200 people on the chat. Possible to follow. So we have hit 4 o'clock.
And you might want to tweet out the questions 3 or 4 times in the opening 20 minutes.
Yeah.
For those who come late.
Larry, there he is. Yay.
Yay. He was there. He actually came to Utah. A road trip for 3 other guys, 2 of whom gave presentations. Yes. It was product equals you or you equals product.
Larry is a regular, as is Erica, as is Greg White, joining us from Southern California. Greg is the co-founder and executive director at Productcamp Southern California, passionate about growing revenue with a market focus. Welcome, Charlie.
Hey, Southern
Charlie.
He also was there.
Yeah.
He was the first person to sign up.
Awesome. So we have to get him to speak.
Yeah.
I think that was might have been his first Productcamp.
It might have been. You announced it for the first time on one of these talks, and within 2 minutes, he had registered.
Awesome.
You know, I'm going to do a tweet from PCAMP Utah.
Fine.
Just said I'm
a... Are you a one-person show at PCAMP Utah?
No, I'm a 10-person show, but we have the website and the Twitter feed. Yeah, we had a bunch of people helping out.
Charlie says PCAMP Utah was pretty fantastic, actually. Great conversation, great connections. Looking forward to more of it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like him.
So I have to remember to read the tweets in case anyone is only listening. And yes, I think of our weekly product management talk as a mini product camp session. Introduce today's speaker, Greg White, who is the co-founder and executive director at Product Camp Southern California, as well as the founder and president of Orange County Product Manager. A product management leader, Greg is passionate about growing revenue with a market focus. His expertise covers the full product lifecycle, including development of product strategies, roadmaps, business cases, market requirements, go-to-market strategies, trainings, and promotional campaigns. He's also designed product management processes and managed several strategic initiatives. Greg brings over 13 years of product management and marketing experience from the information, software, and e-commerce industries at companies like RealityTrack, FICO, Experian, and AltaVista. Greg co-founded Productcamp SoCal, an unconference educational networking event for local product management and marketing professionals that has become an annual occurrence, drawing over 200 attendees to the day-long event, similar to the event that just occurred at Product Camp Utah.
And Atlanta.
And Atlanta. We had two ones this past weekend. Greg also founded Orange County Product Managers, which is a rapidly growing professional organization that facilitates the exchange of ideas, resources, and contacts between product management and product marketing professionals in Orange County, California. OCPM hosts regular networking events and is the producer of Product Camp SoCal. Greg earned his Bachelor of Arts in Business Administration from California State University Fullerton. Greg and his wife live in Irvine with their three sons. Gosh, you are busy.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
We are delighted to have you joining us today. Greg, topic of building the business case for market focused approach is quite relevant every product and business endeavor.
Okay, thank you, Cindy, for this opportunity. I hope that informality of the forum is something that's beneficial to me, because I've been very busy promoting, preparing for Product Camp SoCal, which is coming up on October 15th. As Cindy said, we've got Orange County Product Managers, and I've got Product Camp SoCal. Fortunately, I do have a team, relatively decent size organization, very loyal and dedicated and very smart individuals, but that doesn't mean that it's without a lot of time commitment. I'm very interested in sharing my experiences and gaining insights out of the audience on uses of business case for redirecting strategic direction or shifting a focus from a business standpoint on a product, whether it be to build or not to build a particular product, or whether it be a go-to-market strategy shift that needs to occur. Oftentimes when we get into a situation, there are forces beyond our direct control as product managers that will influence the direction of the company's product roadmap, product development schedule overall, the marketing approach, the speed with which we build things, etc. And I want to start a discussion as opposed to purely teach and instruct. I'm just one practitioner, and most of us have lived other various experiences through the product management process and can each share our own stories about how we've guided the direction of our company in terms of, you know, whether to develop a product or to not develop a product, or what should we be doing with a particular product or product suite. At this point, I'd like to elicit some questions from either the online or the audio audience along those lines. Have you ever, I assume everybody on the call and on Twitter has created a business case, have you had to defend your business case against other influences, and what are some of the tactics that you've used to do so?
Roger Carvin, welcome. He said in answer to question one, which the question Q1 is, how important is understanding your target market to the success of your product? Roger says, understanding your market, of course, helps in product management, but don't forget to formulate and test hypothesis. And Larry McKeo says, you should have a general understanding. Think it is better to understand customers' problems that may/may not jive with the market. Have you had to defend a business case? If so, how?
Okay, Charlie Oliver is listening to us. That's cool.
Hi, Charlie. Q1A. Have you ever had to defend a business case? And if so, how? And welcome to Buddy Group, evangelists of great products through digital engagement. Okay, Buddy Group, we got your commercial there. If you'd like to sponsor us officially, please direct message me at Cindy F. Solomon. So Greg says, we've all developed business cases. It can be influences and agendas within the company to pursue a particular direction. And I think, Greg, you had shared a particular experience that was the impetus for why you wanted to talk about this.
I've had a few of those types of experiences. Be jumping ahead a little bit. Let's take the no-go business case. One time I had a request from a vice president of product management who I very much enjoyed working with and still to this day stay in touch with. He wanted to pursue a particular direction that I didn't see as viable solution for our customers. This was building a trigger-based alert system based on RSS newsfeed. And the target market was credit management personnel in the B2B world, so business credit managers, essentially. They've got a lot of things going on. They've got a lot of information flowing back and forth. And what they need to do is really get to the core of what's going on with their customers. One valuable piece of information would potentially be news about their customers. Maybe there's a report of negative occurrences going on. Maybe their CFO is being indicted, or maybe they had a fire at their plant. Something along those lines that wouldn't show up in traditional credit data. And an RSS service to aggregate news stories based on keywords on these businesses was something that on the surface sounded appealing until we got into exactly the kind of information that was going to be coming through on this. And we were finding football scores and all kinds of different things in there. Really became a situation where I had to convince my boss, the vice president, that this was actually a bad concept and a bad direction to take, and that it would not be well accepted by our customers. Fortunately, my case was heard, and we didn't end up pursuing the opportunity to build this product, and we put our resources elsewhere.
Larry Hitt says, when defending the business case, lay out the options and compare all of them equally. Remember to include option to do nothing. Good point. Roger says, formulating and defending a business case is a common strategy, strategic product management activity. Larry said earlier, the strength of defending the business case comes from the data used. Data is a great equalizer.
I totally agree with that. Your business case needs to be quantifiable. Your business case needs to be hard and fast data, not opinions. And unfortunately, all too often, opinions weigh too heavily in decisions, whether they be the opinion of the product manager, development, executive teams, or individual customers. It's essential to get down to the brass tacks, the metrics, the numbers, the specific feedback on particular situations that will go into a business case. So case studies and use cases, numbers, metric, as opposed to, I think this is going to happen. I think we've got these clients, there is this market out there. Okay, so let's put that into a model and let's see if that flies.
Alejandro Polanco joining us from Fort Lauderdale. Alejandro, question two. So Roger says, what are some ways you've gained insight into your target market's needs? And Larry had said, when creating business case for an unknown new market, hard data is not always available. So you have to call out assumptions and gut decisions. Yeah, that makes it hard.
There's also the concept of taking your pasta and throwing it against the wall and seeing if it sticks.
Right.
A lot of companies do that. If you're able to develop rapidly and you're building light apps and things like that, oftentimes in the internet world, in the e-commerce world, you just, hey, we'll stick that out, put out a landing page and we'll test it, we'll do A-B testing on it and we'll see if it works. Some things you've got, if a development take it is going to require a 90-day or 180 or 360-day investment, that's probably not a good practice.
A lot of answers to the question about what are some ways you gain insights into your target market. Larry gave us a URL about you can't analyze your way to growth. The past does and include opportunities that exist but have not yet happened. Thank you, Larry, for that resource. Erica suggests personas. Must say at least once every tweet chat, that's right. We have some frequently mentioned themes. Greg asked Larry, what are the assumptions and gut decisions based on? Roger said other data are prospect interviews, surveys, ethnographic studies, and putting real stuff in front of them to test my assumptions. Great. And Larry said, analysis excludes ways to serve customers that have not been tried or imagined, or ways to turn non-customers into customers.
Yeah.
Welcome, Matt.
Erica, I had to clarify, take the concept, throw it against the wall and see if it sticks. I'm not advocating that.
Okay.
So I clarify it.
That's cool.
Yeah, and Max said, too many companies do this now. The whole point of the business case and market-focused approach is not throwing it against the wall.
Combat throwing it against the wall. And the buddy group, like Roger's answer, that A-B testing is a great way to watch your hypothesis play out.
Larry made an interesting point, too, about you're not going to capture the people who are not your customers that way.
And Larry says, when throwing against the wall, use small bit, like the Amazon approach. Larry, are you saying the Amazon approach where they started with one tab per book?
Oh, that's solution. Okay, rather.
We're setting the stage for why we need a market-focused approach. And Larry says, strategy is about taking many small risks, says Jeff Bezos. Thank you. Roger says, answer two, focus not on what customers say they want, but on what problem it would solve and what they do.
Right,
because
the
customers don't
that.
Always know what they want, and what they tell us they want is not necessarily accurate.
Exactly. I totally agree with Art Coven on that. That's
yeah.
Roger.
Roger's
I totally agree
office.
With Roger.
Sir, we have all our heavy hitters. Q3 is, how do you respond to executive direction that you know is not going to be a successful model? It could be politically difficult. Larry says, Jeff doesn't. Amazon is a disruptor that is flying beneath the radar.
All right. Everybody likes what the customers want. Yep.
Dude, they'll take many small risks. Okay, so how do you respond to executive direction that you know is not going to be successful? Very diplomatically.
You can go with the business case, that the negative business case in terms of a particular product. The backdoor, there's also an example that I have is I built a significant project or a product that was a six-month project. We had one pilot customer. We had one leading customer that was a major global financial institution, and there was going to be a significant contract with this client, and senior management wanted us to go after essentially their five peers. This was one of the big bank approach that senior management wanted to take was to go after other large banks. However, I knew by staying engaged with our salespeople and having been on some sales and support calls and working directly with some of these clients that that was easier said than done. Each of those institutions had a different model for their business process. Each of them had different needs. Each of them had different levels of budget and resources that they could advocate or that they could throw at the solution. In the case of the client that we were working with, they were actually hiring staff to specifically work with this product. Others were in a different situation. And I knew that to be true. Now, I also knew that through my time at the company and working with other products that attempted to do what we were doing with this new product but failed to do so, that there was a significant need in the next tier down where the pyramid really starts opening up in terms of the number of customers that you can have. We're not talking small to mid-sized business. We're still talking major national and international companies, but a little bit of a smaller contract size is what we would be expecting out of these business. So I pushed to open it up to additional customers and additional markets. So not just focusing on big banks, but regional banks, manufacturers and distributors, utilities, other companies that would open up opportunities for us to sell the product along the way. So I built a business case model, even though we were already well into the development of the product, had to adjust for market strategy, had to build another business case to go after a particular market. And I had to align that with the feature set that was going to be coming out over the course of the roadmap. And over time, as we built more features, that opened things up for us to go after additional markets. Knowing that some business types needed different types of data, different data elements, different delivery mechanisms, etc. So I built a business case and a revenue projection model that paralleled a development path. I individually shared that with the individuals on the executive team. So it wasn't a massive presentation. I had to go door to door to all the vice presidents in the business unit and essentially get their buy-in, get their heads nodding up and down on the strategy. And eventually, that ended up being the successful strategy that helped us to go out, bring on, instead of five customers at, in best case, $3 million a year, our first 6 months out, we generated $1.5 million in revenue, which would have been projected to be equal to that $3 million goal with 19 customers instead of a small handful, which we knew would not be a successful model anyway because many of those businesses were going in different directions.
Excellent. Matt pointed out a good four-part article on overcoming organizational resistance to change, an ongoing theme, at least in my career. Alejandro says an effective product manager can get top clients to comment, opine on the roadmap. Sometimes that alone will persuade the executive. Really good. Larry says it's not really the executive's job to truly know what to do. They rely on others around them for advice and direction. Good point. And us. They rely on us. Yes, an organic approach and bubble idea up through the ranks. Share peer pressure works too, says Larry. But who do you exert peer pressure on? Alejandro says, I'm a big advocate of the answers and the numbers. Statistics will always prove or disprove a case. True, but you can always misinterpret statistics. If you see holes in the strategy, propose a solution. Don't just point out the issue, or you're causing a problem as well, says the buddy group. Good point. Also, the buddy group says, hopefully the executives have their own version of a cabinet whose opinions and input they value. Yeah.
Great just made a comment saying, interesting challenge, you in a verbal interview that becomes a tweet stream and text discussion. Yep.
It's because I have this commitment to being all-inclusive, and I seem to up the ante every week that I have to add a new tool.
You'll need multiple producers. You'll need an entire production team to do that.
Yeah. So exciting, though, that how available the tools are for doing this, how relatively inexpensive, just from a few months back, maybe a year, it was not so easy just to to do this type of recording, and I actually have a whole radio station studio here, so we can get a lot more sophisticated. Okay, Q4, have you ever had to create a no-go business case that you actually had to document and also kept your job? So Q4, Larry says that how you couch the proposal is also important. Don't put an executive in a meeting, hit them cold, and expect a favorable decision. Very good. You have to warm them up. I think that what we're not saying is there has to be some rapport. There has to be a relationship. There's some soft skills here that you have to have them on your side so that they'll trust your opinion and they'll respect your input. Welcome Reinfluence, who is retweeting that execs make the decisions using facts and input from the direct report.
So Cindy, you just mentioned how do you do that while keeping your job. Charlie, if you're listening, I know that Ryan Money at the PCAP Utah discussed this very thing. I can't remember the story. Would you please tweet that?
Is he listening?
I think so. I think he said at one point loud and clear.
Reinfluences Tom Hutta, creates ideas that grow businesses, build brands, and raise awareness. Very good. Thank you for joining and welcome.
Wait, Larry, I think he's on the call. Larry was there. So Larry, if you're listening, could you retweet that same thing? What Ryan Money talked about when he said, when he went up against the execs and said no.
So Larry's answer to Q4, have you ever had to create a no-go business case? Larry says yes on both. Had to show five options that all logically built to doing nothing.
Awesome.
The net return on investment didn't get us any further ahead, so why? So he's saying that he showed five different scenarios that all proved no-go was the right option. Chris Booth from Toronto, welcome. Technologist, marketer, and product manager. Roger says some of the best execs empower a team to make decisions. Yep. If you have a team, then no one person takes the shot.
Well, yes, and plus, if you're doing it right, you get the best of all of the brains in the room.
That's right.
Having to rely on one person.
It's a collaboration, and then also everyone becomes a stakeholder. Everyone's bought into the solution, which gives it more clout. Very good. Always has excellent things to say. Craig says, wouldn't we all love to work for the best execs? Way back when I was in charge of the website for a wholly owned subsidiary of Apple for FileMaker software, they were allowing people to take downloads without registering. And I made the case that we needed to get information about people who were taking downloads. Those were prime prospects. Not like before that they understood that the web was a marketing vehicle. And I did make a case to the CEO, and he said we couldn't process the information we had about customers now. He didn't want more information being wasted. So I guess I did do a business case by proving that it would be valuable to capture that information, and we actually set up the system to get people to register, which is still in place. This is where your medal as product manager gets proven. You cannot sell an idea. You may want to find another line of work. Yep. Sometimes in working in new technologies, you have to do a lot of education. It takes finesse. Some execs do, in fact, empower the team to make decisions. Yes. Oh, Q5. How important is a product roadmap to aligning your product with market needs? So we switch from business case to product to roadmap. And are you sort of implying, Greg, that the roadmap is essentially a way of making a business case? Could be.
A roadmap is a way of, yes, it's a support to the business case, and it's a way of socializing your vision.
Oh. And that's a difficulty I've had as well, being a product manager. I wanted to go ahead and take the action. I didn't want to wait to get the buy-in.
But you need to get the buy-in, otherwise it's going to be stopped somewhere. Unless you've got an executive sponsor who's got the bully pulpit or veto power, you need to get that buy-in.
Right. I mean, since I have gotten involved in local politics, and I actually learned a lot about getting stakeholder buy-in. And also I learned that I didn't have to have everyone agreeing with me at every, for the end decision to buy in. That everyone could have their own reasons for buying in. They didn't have to have my reasons.
Right.
Roadmap is a key piece of internal communication and political selling. And Greg said the product roadmap supports the business case and is a great tool for socializing your vision. Thank you. Socializing your business. The challenge is that even though you want to start exciting idea, immediately must get buy-in, our idea killed. Yep. So there's a maturity level in, that comes about in product management that we never talk about. We just assume it. A product roadmap is provisional but important for expressing and testing hypotheses. A roadmap is very important. Know where you need to go, including budget and resource allocation, but prepare for bumps. Excellent, buddy group. That's also a critical piece for alignment to reduce duplicate work and set the stage for the development effort. Yep. Everyone has their own reasons for buying into a concept. A roadmap is very important. Set the stage for the development effort. Excellent. Figure out the reasons for each stakeholder.
That's why Max is one of my directors.
Okay, so I answered this question already. Q6, have you ever built a product that no customer specifically asked for? And I think that is the case with mobile applications.
Yeah, that's one of those situations where you're seeing things going in the market. That's kind of a combination, the thesis, if you will, or the beginning of this, the blog entry. Ideas come from multiple places, can be coming from many places. And that's a combination of the technological advances that enabled development of a solution that was previously unavailable, and an observed overall market trend that is pointing toward an emerging need. So with apps, we've got the iPhone that came out, and then people started building apps for the iPhone. And then the iPhone developed competitors, and you've got the Android platform that's kind of taking the lead from the competitive standpoint. And then suddenly, people are finding new ways to build apps for practical purposes. If you want to order a burrito from Chipotle, you can go on an app, build your burrito, show up at Chipotle, cut to the front of the line, and pick up your burrito. You've already paid for it, and it's exactly what you ordered. That's a practical example, whereas some of the early apps were a little bit more, we'll say, fun, but less, maybe a little less functional, looking at the stars and figuring out what that big bright light up in the sky is. Figuring out that it's Jupiter.
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds. Yeah, that's turned into a business, though. But yeah, that essentially started off as, a time killer. Still a time killer, but now they're making money with it. So, and it's all matured and progressed over time, and that convergence of technology and a trend where you can see a need out there.
Chris Yeh in the Valley talks about finding the market before you even start to build the product, which would also be difficult, I think, in an ideal world. And Roger says, the decision to launch my DadNab service 2 years ago was based on market research but not request. Excellent. I would say the same for the global product management talk. It was based on my market research. My customer one who decided there was a need for this.
And isn't that where the whole personas versus asking customers what they want comes in? You build personas and you're talking to customers, and just by watching them, observing and shutting up and listening, you figure out what they really need, and then you deliver that.
So you're saying you launch a starting point and then you iterate from there?
Well, no, I'm saying that by talking to people, by getting out in their environment and talking to people, it's really what, then you can figure out what their needs are and deliver to that.
Right.
So instead of coming up with just a different model of bottle, you can come up with something that will meet their needs. Yeah, but you get what I mean.
So you take some action, and then you take feedback. You can afford to do that in a small organization than a startup, but it's hard to do in bigger organizations where they won't commit resources until there's proof that it will generate profits within a given time frame. Roger says part of the reason for focusing on market problems rather than requests is to truly innovate.
And I have an add-on to that.
And you said product enhancement for TweetChat equals enter as opposed to update. Yes. Yes.
Completely.
I don't say that TweetChat is the best tool, only that it's the easiest tool.
So
learning curve is short.
Following on Roger's tweet of the reason for focusing on market problems, you also want to create a solution for a market, not for an individual customer. Otherwise, you're going to go around chasing each individual customer for their individual needs.
Right. And you have to quantify how big the market is. I think you would start there. I mean, this is not a tactics on how to build the case. This is really the why to build a case. Larry says, no, not all want to make decisions, but find the key influences. They'll share an opinion. He said that in response to re-influencer, who said, sure, inventing the pyramid, pushing decisions to teams, but not all want to share power, and gave us a link. Thank you. This is a good point. People often fall in love with tech for tech's sake and build solutions, then look for a market. Well, that says I kind of disagree. Twitter was in response to the pain of group texting. Granted, that's not where it ended up. That's right. I think it was an internal solution that they didn't plan to turn into. If your prototype offers insight for a great product line, you've won. Just don't waste it. Right. Wow.
Oh, who said that?
The Buddy Group. Alejandro.
There you go.
Question 6. Time to buy. Always happens when having fun and learning a lot. Yes, we have to. Thank you.
I don't think Twitter's the best platform for this. I don't know.
It's not an easy platform. So I've written at length about why Twitter, but it doesn't have to be Twitter. I think it's important to have a weekly forum to discuss product management issues for people who can't get away from their desk to get out to product talks and vent with other product professionals.
I think I had more tweets today than any other talk, including the one where I was playing Greg White.
Okay. FICO, our customers kept telling us they don't need more analytics. They need ways to manage the analytics. Right. We had someone come in at the end with the Harry Ford quote. And next week, we have John Peltier, who is
Speaking
about another favorite discussion, clarifying the relationship between the product manager and the product owner.
Oh, that should be good.
So we got to get our Scrum and Agile practitioners to join us.
Agile's great. We would not have been able to get done what I got done at Realty Track had we not been Agile. Our CEO kind of liked to shift directions on us at short notice. Yeah.
Thank you, Alejandro, also. Enlightening as usual, perfect example of product managers adding features for feature's sake. Max said in response to Greg, I want to encourage people to blog. Whoever blogs, we will mirror your blog posting on the Product Management Talk website. Please invite your friends and colleagues to join us every week. Thank you, Greg, for participating despite your really heavy schedule this weekend.
This has been an interesting experience. I'll have to tune into some of the Twitter discussion at some point in the future. That the one next week sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it always is different depending on who is participating, what the subject matter is, and okay, as well as Product Camp Radio, which are interviews.
Thank you for the opportunity. Nope. Stay in touch. We'll watch this concept that you've developed grow and evolve.
It's exciting. The main point is to have community. What tool we use is less important. It has to have a low barrier of entry. It has to be easy for people to jump in and jump out without having to download or learn how to use a new tool, to schedule other digital events that are pure audio.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I did one recently, Brandy Moore, who was discussing outsourcing to India and the cultural challenges involved. And you can listen to that at blogtalkradio.com/prodmanagementtalk. She'll be speaking in November. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
All right.
You too.
Thanks,
okay.
Andy.